Welcome to the People and Performance Podcast, offering tips and expert insights into the strategic capabilities, behaviors, and results needed to grow and sustain employee performance.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the People and Performance Pod. I'm Bill Banham, co-host. Today, Chris Bjorling and I consider how leaders can inspire employees and what to do to avoid a toxic workplace. Our guest this time is Kathy Caprino, an internationally recognized career and leadership coach, writer, speaker, and educator dedicated to the advancement of women in business. A former corporate VP, Kathy is also a trained therapist, seasoned executive coach, senior Forbes contributor, top media source on careers, and the author of two books, Breakdown, Breakthrough, and her latest book, The Most Powerful You, Seven Bravery-Boosting Paths to Career Bliss. Chris and I hope that you enjoy this conversation that we had with Kathy, and if you do, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Kathy, it's our pleasure to welcome you to the People and Performance Podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill and Chris. I'm thrilled to be here.
So, listeners, we were joking just before we hit record here that we've got some pretty meaty questions today. We're really putting Kathy to task to get through some big topics in about 15 minutes.
So, challenge. Wow.
Wow. Here we go. Let's get straight into it. As part of your Today's True Leadership series, Kathy, you recently published an article called How Embracing Vulnerability Expands Your Leadership Impact and Career Growth. And in the post, you write the following: I have also seen in my research with thousands of professionals and managers that vulnerability in leadership encompasses this, allowing ourselves to be open enough to experience the potential pain, fear, and insecurity that comes when we're being fully true to ourselves, expressing our deepest and most honest thoughts and feelings. Can you share, Kathy, what you mean by this and how a higher level of authenticity can make leaders more compelling and make employees more inspired to perform?
I love this question. And, you know, we could talk about it for 5 hours. So let me try to be as brief as possible. And everything I talk about comes from my work in corporate life. I had an 18-year corporate career, vice president, blah, 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 and then becoming a therapist, and now 16 years of coaching. And the sweet spot is mid to high level professional women. But I've mentored a lot of young professionals. And wow, an amazing picture is emerging. But to answer your question, what I see over and over when people are struggling in their careers or when organizations are struggling is that there is not a level of authenticity or vulnerability that allows people to feel safe, included, to feel. And I've learned a lot from interviewing Timothy Clark on this issue on psychological safety. He talks about the psychological safety occurs when people feel included, where they feel safe to learn, contribute, challenge the status quo, all without fear of being embarrassed, marginalized, and punished. And that is what I'm seeing the problem is. Without vulnerability, and I'm talking about that from the highest level on down. I mean, you might have lower level managers trying to be vulnerable and authentic, but at the top, they're not getting that. So without that, people cannot feel safe. They can't trust that that they can be their true selves. So, you know, the flip side of when we don't have enough vulnerability and authenticity is the work culture can become unsafe, and threatening. The feedback loop that we need, each of us, needs to be open to what people are thinking and saying about how we're operating. We have to be open to that. And you can't be open to that and invite that if you're not vulnerable, right? Thirdly, there's a lot of toxicity in organizations if it's left to run rampant. So there, I think we're going to talk about that later, but there can be some damaging behavior, damaging personalities. And without vulnerability and authenticity in the culture and in the way we're operating, those are going to run rampant and continue to hurt people. Also, without vulnerability and authenticity, what I'm seeing over and over is really high potential employees, very talented people, they're not going to stay. They, you know, I'm noticing with younger people, and I have two children, 24 and 27, really talented people who want to make a difference with their work and who have the ability to, are not going to stay in environments where they don't feel heard, where they don't feel appreciated, where they don't feel recognized, and where they don't feel they can speak up. They're just not going to stay. And finally, our leadership is going to be stifled if we're not open to how can I grow? How can I do better? How can I inspire the people in this organization to, you know, contribute at the highest level that they want to? Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it answers the question extremely well. So thank you, Kathy, on that. So now I get to play devil's advocate, okay, and kind of get into probably where you were touching on that. So that's a great, safe environment. Those are great opportunities for people to grow and flourish and contribute. I agree wholeheartedly with all the pieces you brought in there. So it's great. But let's go on the flip side. You also recently published a LinkedIn article called The Six Toxic Behaviors That Repel People and Opportunities. How to tell if you're engaging in them. What are some of the most common toxic behaviors that's being demonstrated that can push people away and burn bridges with colleagues? Tell us about some of those that you've experienced.
Again, I've seen this from working with thousands of people across the world. I'm going to read them quickly to you, the six, and then I'll talk about a few that I think are the most damaging. Number one, taking everything personally. You know, everything is happening as an assault to you, or it's all about you. Number two is obsessing about negativity and negative thoughts. Number three is treating yourself like a victim. That one I'm really going to talk about a little more in depth. Number four is cruelty, lacking in empathy. And lacking the ability to put yourself in other people's shoes. So, you know, as a former therapist, I worked with narcissism and a narcissistic personality disorder. And sadly, there's a lot of narcissists at the top of organizations. I'm speaking very, you know, bluntly here. But when you see that, when a person can't be challenged, when they can't put themselves in someone else's shoes, that's a very toxic behavior. Number five is excessive reactivity. We all know these people where they fly off the handle. They're yelling in meetings. You know, they have to wait in a long line at the grocery store and they can't handle it and they're screaming. So damaging. And the sixth is needing constant external validation. And that shows up in leadership where the leader, you know, or the manager is training someone. But when that person succeeds at a job or a goal or a task or a project, the manager or the trainer wants to take credit. They need the validation. Well, that is going to really, that is going to hurt your teams and really make people feel like they'll never be able to shine because you always need the credit. So those are the six toxic behaviors that I see in personal life and in professional life. But I would say the one that could be the most damaging is that excessive reactivity. We have to feel safe that we can go talk to our managers and our leaders and our colleagues about what's going wrong or about where we need help or that we blew it. I made a mistake, Kathy. You know, can I share it with you? If your leader or manager is incredibly reactive, you're just going to shut people down. And it's toxic in every way.
Great. Thank you for focusing on that. Can you just explain, you know, a little more of the damage that can be done? You talked a little bit about the first one, but talk about the damage that these negative behaviors can cause in general to the relationships, the professional success, the individual's career growth, and the well-being of both the individual behaving in a toxic way and everyone else around them. Can you elaborate a little bit more, at least one area?
You know, my recent book, and this is not to be a promotion, but you know, it touches on this. It focuses on what I call the seven most damaging power gaps that professionals face. And I did a survey, 1,500 people around the world completed it. 98% of professional women have at least one of these gaps, and 90% of professional men as well. And 75% of women indicated they have three or more of these gaps. I just want to tell you what they are, because that's, these toxic behaviors can contribute to us having these gaps. And when you have these gaps, you absolutely can't thrive at the highest level. You can succeed a little bit externally, but you're not going to have internal success. And without internal success, it doesn't work. It does, you know, you're not going to thrive in your career. Gap number one is not recognizing your special talents, abilities, and gifts. Gap two, communicating from fear, not strength. Gap three, reluctance to ask for what you deserve and what you want. Number four is isolating from influential support. Five is acquiescing instead of saying stop to mistreatment. Number six is losing sight of your thrilling vision for what you had for your career when you were just starting out. And number seven is allowing the past to continue to define you. So I bring those up because these toxic behaviors impact people by exacerbating their power gaps. So let's say gap number two, communicating from fear, not strength. We have this more than men. A lot of it is because, frankly, we live in a patriarchal society. This is not to bash men, but in business, you know, at the highest levels, take a look at Fortune 500, you know, it's predominantly male. Most, you know, most high level positions are occupied by men. So if we feel like when I speak up, you get mad at me, you scream at me, you punish me, you tell other people that I blew it, that's going to make me continue to communicate from fear, not strength. Another one is when you see mistreatment around you or to you. And that's, you know, I've had it all, Chris, honestly. I've had sexual harassment, gender discrimination. You know, I've had the things you hear about, but you don't think are going to happen to you. When you have this all around you and you see that no one's doing anything about it, that's power gap number five. We're acquiescing. We're allowing it instead of saying stop because we're afraid to. I mean, when I had sexual harassment, I was deathly afraid to say anything. I knew I would be fired. I knew if I went to HR, I'd be fired. So that's what these toxic behaviors can do.
Yeah, they just undermine the ground, the stability of the person and the people around you, that how you react and how you do. And it makes it so that it's really tough to, I mean, you know, just organizationally, not even just individually, but organizationally, it creates a weaker structure around you, it seems like, from everything that's out there.
That's right.
Because your people aren't leveraging their strengths. You're not working with the assets they bring. And you're stymieing them. You're just shutting them down. So.
And they're afraid. You know, there's a lack of trust, and you cannot build a thriving organization if there's no trust.
Yeah, I agree 1,000% with you.
So, Kathy, you are a podcast host's dream, not just because you offer wonderful answers, but also because you create a lot of awesome content, and that helps us come up with some good questions, I hope. And another very interesting article that you published was called 10 Questions to Help You Determine If Your Leader Is Someone You Should Give a Second Chance To. So for employees listening to this episode, Kathy, who can maybe relate to their leaders demonstrating toxic behaviors, what are a few questions to help employees decide if they should give their leader a second chance? Because right now people can move pretty easily and get different jobs elsewhere, right?
I so love this question. And again, it's so hard for me to answer briefly, but I would have people go and read that and answer the 10 questions I offer. But I want to start with this to make it simple. First of all, it's really important that you understand your core values. What is the essence of the work that you want to do? And what are the values, the non-negotiables you have? So for me, for instance, I want passion, power, purpose, clarity, and authenticity in everything I do. And that's why I run my own business, frankly, because I found in corporate life, honestly speaking, in the experiences I had, I couldn't have those five things. I'm not saying everyone should leave their corporate life. I'm saying it's really important you understand what your values are and then answer these questions. But I would say here's three of the 10 I would have you think about. When this leader takes action, does the action support the growth, safety, and success of the vast majority of people under him or her, or just a small group that is personally attached or connected to them. I remember the worst situation I was in as a vice president. They had brought in a turnaround guy, and he brought a team of four people that he brought to every company, and they were all men, and they were his inner circle. And he surrounded himself by these yes people that followed him around the country, you know, in these jobs. And when he would speak, it would be that you could tell he was really thinking only about the people that were in his inner circle that he wanted to support, not a majority of the staff. I hope that's clear when I'm talking about that. Another is, does the leader show maturity, emotional intelligence, regulation, balance, the other key attributes that make a great leader? Are you making excuses for him or her? Are you saying, well, they didn't really mean to say that? I mean, I wrote this, frankly, when we were under a president who I felt was the antithesis of a strong leader. And in writing these questions, I could honestly say that I thought that leader did not do the things we need a great leader to do. So that's another way to look at it. And a final question is, do they communicate in a way that I respect and admire? If you keep seeing that, you know, you're making excuses for them, or your manager is treating other people terribly, but maybe they're treating you well, but they're treating other people terribly, it's time to ask yourself, what are my values and non-negotiables, and is this the place and the leader for me?
Great, great examples, great story. Thanks for sharing some personal pieces there too. Not just this question and the previous ones as well. So I have a question for you, because this is personal. Can you share one piece of advice or some direction that you were given by a mentor, leader, or a colleague that inspired you personally to perform at a higher level in your career?
Yeah, I love this question. There were several pieces of advice. You know, I've been at it a long time here, but one that came up for me is, actually, this person was not the best leader or manager, but he said something that really struck me so hard that I wasn't aware of. He said, look, Kathy, your success at work and your career is not based on what you know and what you do. It's based on the relationships you formed. And I remember really resisting that, because I thought, what? I want to work in a meritocracy where it's what I'm doing that gets me noticed or moves me forward. But he was right. I realize now we literally can't do what we want to do. We can't achieve our biggest, juiciest goals without other people. And, you know, I've written a lot about this, about networking. And, you know, networking can be kind of a dirty word for people. They think, oh, it's so transactional and I don't know how to do it, or I'm an introvert, and how am I going to reach out to someone on LinkedIn who I don't know? But I realize now mentors and sponsors, it's not just mentors, sponsors. And I want to make the differentiation. Mentor is someone in your sphere who you know, who is happy to offer you, you know, regular insights, advice, guidance. They're in the fabric of your life, right? But a sponsor is that, plus they have clout and influence. They can open a door for you that you can't open yourself. And research has shown, I think it was Sylvia Ann Hewlett's research, that showed that women have three times as many mentors, but men have twice as many sponsors. Sponsors have clout. And we need these people. We need a support community. When I look at everything that I've done that matters to me, other people helped me. So I would say, start building your support community, a really robust community now. And you can start on LinkedIn. What a great place to do it. But you want people who are not just at your company. A lot of people tell me, I don't know anyone outside my company, IBM or GE, or they've been a place a long, long time. They should be inside your company, outside your company, and even in and outside your field. Start connecting with them. Share a post of theirs. If you see something of mine, share it and tag the person and share your thought leadership. Wow, I really liked this piece because of this. It's time. It's time that you start building that network.
personally, I love networking. It's my happy place when I'm at a meetup and meeting new people, you know. So Kathy, before we wrap up, before Chris asks you how we can learn more about you, we do have a question that we ask of all of our guests, and I'm going to challenge you to answer in 1 minute or less. What? And it is as follows. From a culture and people processes perspective, what does a high performing company mean to you?
Okay, 1 minute. They are helping their teams, employees, and work cultures thrive, grow, innovate, and perform at the highest level by helping them close those 7 power gaps I talked about. And the flip side of those gaps are 7 brave pathways to career and leadership success: brave sight, brave speak, brave ask, brave connection, brave challenge, brave service, and brave healing. And if you want more about that, of course, you can check out my book, The Most Powerful You. Is that under a minute?
I don't know, but you know what? The reality is that people need to stop and rewind it, because you just gave them double barrels of spectacular information. So I think
it's
wonderful.
I hope cool. It now you,
well, I it sure certainly shall for most people who come to listen. It gives people pause to think and to like just self-evaluate where they're at in this world, because as you talked about your survey before, you know, I think a lot of people have the, you know, things they think about and the questions that you asked, but also in watching what happens at work and doing these things. So all these topics we've talked about today are probably very, you know, viable for most of our listening audience to just put in their own personal perspective and say, hey, where is that? What are we seeing there? Because even in the most perfect world, you're going to see some of these pieces.
Right.
And taking the opportunity to address them can just help the organization, help you live a better life, and people around you as well, too. So you threw out some thoughts about your book, but let's ask, this is the other question we ask everybody. How can we learn more about you?
It's simple. You can go to kathycaprino.com or my podcast, findingbrave.org. And I have a ton of resources, free resources, assessments, personality tests, free webinars. I hope everyone jumps in there and takes advantage of that. And sure, sign up for my newsletter, my weekly newsletter too. I'd love to hear from you. I hope people find this helpful. And my book is there too at kathycaprino.com/mostpowerfulyoubook.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the People and Performance Podcast. Follow us on social media and remember to subscribe.